is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. When Linus said that on the Peanuts Christmas special, all the children watching it were assumed to understand what he was talking about, what he was referencing. There was a time when in the United States of America, the King James Bible was just recognized in terms of all kinds of literary allusions, in terms of all kinds of quotations that just made up the culture. That's not the case anymore, but there's a group called the Bible Literacy Project that wants to change that. No, they don't want to teach biblical theology in the public schools, but they are arguing, this group coming out of Fairfax, Virginia, they're saying we need a high school text for public high schoolers where we're writing about the Bible, where we're teaching biblical literacy, because you can't be well educated if you don't understand the Bible. Now, this is going on right at the same time that we have controversy in Dover, Pennsylvania, over intelligent design, over whether or not the controversy about evolution ought to be taught to teenagers and to middle schoolers as they're looking through the biology text and as they're being taught Darwin's theory of evolution. Now, there was an article recently in the Weekly Standard and talks about the need for biblical literacy and the fact that in order to understand Western civilization, you have to understand the Bible. I think that's right. That's why I have no problem with the Bible Literacy Project trying to get this textbook into the public schools. After all, you can't understand what Ronald Reagan was talking about, or before that, what the Puritans were talking about when they were speaking of a shining city on a hill, without understanding Jesus. You can't understand Bill Clinton talking about a new covenant with the American people without understanding Jeremiah. You can't understand Martin Luther King standing up and saying, I've been to the mountaintop, I won't get there with you, but I've seen the promised land, without understanding Moses. You can't understand Shakespeare. You can't understand Herman Melville. You can't understand Nathaniel Hawthorne if you don't understand the cadences and if you don't understand the storyline of the Bible. I have absolutely no problem with this kind of a text, as long as the public schools don't decide that they're going to start teaching biblical theology and Bible doctrine. If that's the case, I'm a little bit worried about what the local American Federation for Teachers rep is going to be teaching. I don't think we need that. But we do need the Bible being taught and being taught fairly in the public schools. What I'm more worried about is biblical illiteracy in our churches. I see, as we look around, that we have churches filled with people who don't know the difference between Saul and David, who don't know the difference between Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and I think that is a critical and crucial problem for the future generations of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to join the conversation today, and let's talk about how are you in your churches and in your homes instilling a love for the Bible and knowledge of the Bible. And I'm not just talking about children who can rattle off facts about who was king of Judah at this particular time. I'm talking about children and young adults who are growing up learning to identify with the storyline of the Bible, who know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because these are their ancestors in the faith. They are children of Abraham. They need to know the storyline of the Bible. So how are you doing that in your churches? How are you making sure that children not only know the Bible, but they come to love the Bible? How are you doing that in your own homes, in your own families? Maybe some of you have grandchildren that you're trying to create and instill a love for the Bible in them. How do you do it? And especially, how do we do it in an era in which children are really sitting down in front of the television for hours on end? They're playing mind-numbing video games for hours on end. How do you get them interested and engaged with a book? And a really, really old book. Give me a call and join the conversation at 1-877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. And we're talking about biblical literacy today. How do we reclaim the Bible? I'm not worried about for the public schools. I'm worried about for our churches, for our own children. How do we do it? How are you doing it? And how can we really make this an agenda in our churches? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But before we do, I have a little bit of news for us today. As many of you have been following the euthanasia debate in the state of Oregon, and that debate is coming to the United States Supreme Court. You know, we have a new Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, and the first thing that he's going to have to deal with is euthanasia. Not only is this going on in the state of Oregon, but we can see a little bit in the Netherlands where euthanasia has been taking place for some time now that the Netherlands really wants to expand euthanasia even more. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court's going to be dealing with this issue in Oregon, and what I would really like to encourage all of our listeners to do is to pray. Because what's happening here is not just some type of a cultural shift. We have elderly people in the state of Oregon whose lives are in jeopardy, depending on how this ruling comes out. We need to really be praying that the United States Supreme Court will take seriously the constitutional protections, not only for those who are strong and healthy, but for those who are sick and weak and elderly and vulnerable, especially when we're preaching a gospel of life in a culture that more and more is saying, you know what, death is just fine with us. Also, speaking of death, Molly Yard, longtime leader of the National Organization for Women, died this week. Her funeral happened this week. There was a big obituary spread in the Los Angeles Times that talks about how Molly Yard was what we evangelicals would call an MK. She was a missionary kid. I didn't know this until I read the obituary. She was the third of four daughters of Methodist missionaries in China. And what I found really astounding was the fact that the Los Angeles Times obituary talks about how in China, her dad was given a brass bowl by a Chinese gentleman to ease the tragedy of having a child who didn't count. And the obituary says this is in a culture that tossed girls away. And it quotes Molly Yard talking about that in 1987. You know, how tragic this is to think about that Molly Yard grew up to be one of the most full-throated defendants, the most absolutely rabid advocates for legalized abortion. What she was really saying was the same thing that the Chinese man was saying to her parents so many years ago. There are some babies who just don't count. Molly Yard's death is a tragedy. Every death is a tragedy. But let's keep in mind there are all kinds of deaths going on right now that aren't being reported in the Los Angeles Times. Speaking of that, Hurricane Katrina victims are being given free abortions by the Little Rock Family Planning Clinic, which is saying anyone who has been displaced by Hurricane Katrina can come in and get a free abortion. An abortion that ordinarily costs $525, they can now get it for $600. And the owner of this clinic, Dr. Jerry Edwards, says this is really an act of compassion because these women, if they're not able to get their abortions right away, it's just going to be a late-term abortion, which would put the life of the mother at risk. Now, the Wall Street Journal pointed out something that I think is exactly appropriate. What mother? You're saying that these pregnancies are not children, so how in the world do you have a mother involved? Well, really what we have here is a sad publicity stunt from an abortionist, but we need to remember, we're living in an era in which the slaughter of children can be advertised as an act of charity, as an act of love for hurricane victims. We need to be praying that instead all of those affected and all of those displaced by Hurricane Katrina could see instead a gospel of life and a gospel of peace in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not this false gospel of death and destruction. Today we're talking about biblical literacy. Now, I want you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we make sure, while the rest of the culture is saying you can't be well-educated if you don't understand the Bible Literacy Project, and I think that's exactly right, But what good is it going to do if we have our public schools teaching the contents of the Bible and we have our own children in our Sunday schools and our children's churches who don't even know the storyline of the Bible? Yeah, they know some doctrines. They know how to be saved. They know maybe why we baptize. They know why we take the Lord's Supper. They know that they ought to be evangelizing. But they don't see that broad story that is coming through the scriptures that speaks to them of genealogies, that speaks to them of kings, that speaks to them of proverbs, that speaks to them of songs, that speaks to them of those of whom the Bible says they are our fathers and our mothers. They don't see themselves in this story. How can we engage our children and teenagers and college students with the Bible? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. I want to hear your suggestions. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memories.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking about Bible literacy. Willie Nelson singing about that family Bible on the table. I'm not sure how much of that stuck, since Willie's newest album has a big marijuana leaf on the front of it. I don't know. We're talking about Bible literacy today. I want you to join the conversation. How do we teach our children and our young adults to love and to embrace the storyline of the Bible, especially when we have more and more citizens in the United States of America saying, you know what, you can't be well educated if you don't understand the Bible. If pagans understand that, just in terms of Western civilization, how much more should we inculcate this into the lives of our children, into the lives of our young adults in terms of understanding and loving not just pieces of the Bible, but the whole story of Scripture? And I think really there are three reasons why we are not doing this in our own churches right now, why we have such biblical illiteracy. The first thing is, I just don't think we think it's important. I think we think it's important for our children to understand morality, and so we teach them true love waits, and we teach them to be kind, and we teach them to share, and we'll use Bible verses to teach them to do these things, but we don't teach them the storyline of the Scripture. And some of us think that doctrines are important, and so we'll have children who are able to rattle off catechisms, for instance, speaking about how many gods are there. There is only one God. How many are God? Three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have all of these doctrines they understand, and that's important, but we're not teaching them the storyline of the Bible. Second reason, I think, is because we are segregating out children and teenagers from the life of the church. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 8 and verse 2, talks about Ezra the priest coming out with the reading of the law. And the Bible says that men and women and all who could understand what they heard were gathered together. The scripture speaks about speaking to the whole people of God and speaking to them, including the little ones. Now, we have this thing that I think was devised somewhere in Hades, which is called Children's Church, where we take children and we separate them out from the life of the congregation, and we put them in a separate holding place where they can learn Bible stories with puppets or whatever it is, but we don't signal to them that it's important that you be gathered with the people of God, that you see mom and dad hearing and submitting to the word of Scripture. I think that has done great, great damage to children knowing and understanding the Bible. And the third thing, I think, is happening is the way that we have kind of atomized the Bible. We have all of these specialty Bibles. I mean, walk into a Christian bookstore and take a look around. I know Dr. Mohler talked about this 100-minute Bible that is coming out in England, where you can skip through the whole Bible in 100 minutes, which my assistant, Robbie, told me right before we came in here, it misses the fall, that you don't have the fall in the 100-minute Bible. Well, that kind of changes the way that you understand the whole rest of the Bible. But you've got all of these Bibles that are designed for men and designed for women and designed for codependence. And really what that says to us is the Bible is all about me, which is exactly the way that we speak of it. Make sure that you have your personal quiet time, and that's the main focus of the Bible. We want to make sure that we're all sitting in our own private places, reading the Bible privately as individuals, and that's important. But that's not the be-all and end-all of the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and tells him, I want you to pay attention to what you learned from your mother and your grandmother, but then he turns around and says, don't ignore the public reading of Scripture. If we are not making sure that in our churches we have a public reading of Scripture that is received reverently, teaching and instructing the whole congregation, including the little ones, we're not going to have a church that knows and loves and understands the Bible. We have Daniel on the line who is listening in Canton, Ohio on WHKW. Daniel, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for having me on. I just had a comment. It's really sad that we are so inept scripturally. Now, for myself, I was saved on April 14th, 2004, and just an incredible encounter with the Lord. And but since that time, the Bible has just become so alive to me, and the wisdom and the truth and the history, and it just really saddens me. I'm leading a class on Wednesday nights right now, and out of the 15 people that are in it, I think 11 said, the Bible just is, something that sits there basically, and it's such a sad state of affairs because there's so much in there that God wants us to know, and if we don't spend the time with it, how can we know what the Lord wants for our lives?
Now, Daniel, had you read the Bible before you were saved last year?
No. I mean, I went to a Catholic school. I wasn't Catholic. So we had theology course every day. And, that was 20 years ago. But
yeah.
Since then, since April 14th of 2004, I can't get enough of it. And, it's something that just makes my day to study. I'm taking a biblical studies course now, and it's just there's so much information there. I think that's one of the things that people look at that great big book and they get a little intimidated.
Yeah.
But you eat it like an elephant, one bite at a time, and it's such a wonderful read. It just really saddens me that the Christians, it almost is, it's just that feel-goodism instead of wanting to know what God wants for us and his plan for our lives.
Well, that's a good point, Daniel. Daniel says, since I came to Christ, all of a sudden the Bible is now an open book to me. It's an interesting book to me. I have a hunger for the Bible. I think that there are many people who can have that kind of a testimony. But I think Daniel also makes an important point, and that is that a lot of people think of the Bible as boring. And a lot of our children think of the Bible as boring. And do you know why? Because we make it boring. The Bible is not boring. It takes a lot to turn this text into a boring book. But if we're not demonstrating the whole point of the Bible, which is what God says in Genesis chapter 3 to Eve, your son will crush the head of that snake, and then he shows you unfolding how he does this. If we're not communicating that, of course it's going to seem boring. If you think that what the Bible is about is sit down, fold your hands, and be nice, then yeah, that's going to seem like a dull PTA meeting. But that's not what the Bible is about at all. What I want to know is, how are you making the Bible come alive? How are you making sure that the next generation of Christians don't see the Bible as something boring or irrelevant, but instead as something that they need to know, that they need to meditate upon, that they need to find their own life story in? How are you doing that in your church, in your Sunday school class, in your small group Bible study, in your own home, around your own table, in your own living room? How are we making sure that we as Christians are a people of the book, and that we're producing other Christians who are people of the book? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Bible Literacy Project says high school public school students, they need to know the Bible. What I'm worried about are our Sunday school kids. Do they need to know the Bible? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
When I was a kid, my Sunday school class at my home church, Wool Market Baptist Church in Biloxi, Mississippi, we still had flannel graph. I recognize that I'm only 33 years old, and there are some of you a little younger than I am who have no idea what flannel graph is, but it was really putting these biblical figures up on the wall and talking through the great stories of the faith, Noah and the flood, Abraham and Isaac, all of the great narratives of Scripture, and it really shaped and impacted who I am. I'm afraid that we have a generation of children now and of young adults who are moving out ready to take the leadership of the Christian church who aren't familiar with the Bible at all. What they're familiar with is Davy and the Giant Pickle or something that is coming from some animated VeggieTales rather than from the Word of God. So how do we engage the next generation with literacy and love for the Bible, especially when even those who are unbelievers? I mean, the article in the Weekly Standard is written by a Jewish man who is saying we need our children to be good citizens, to be well-educated, to know the Bible. I agree with him. But I think even more so, we need our children that we are rearing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to not just know a few Awana verses, but to know the whole counsel of God and to know the flow and the narrative of Scripture. So how do we do that in a way that is engaging and winsome and appeals to the imaginations of our children and our young adults? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. We have Charlie, who is in St. Charles, Missouri, and Charlie is listening on XM Radio. By the way, my parents just gave me, as an early birthday present, an XM Radio, and the thing is fantastic. So, Charlie, I am with you now as an XM listener. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Dr. Moore, okay, 170 is a Christian station. Awesome station.
Okay, great.
The problem we have, really, is most people don't know how to read the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And there's also prominent pastors, especially in this area, that'll come out and admit they have never read the Bible cover to cover.
Well, that's pitiful.
Yeah, it is. Especially, all right, we'll not go there, but I'm working on my fourth time through the Bible. And after the third time, I picked up a book called Reading the Bible for All It's Worth.
Yeah.
And it has made the Bible come alive to me like it never has before, reading it. You can take a story and then relate it to how it relates to our lives today.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible, like, say, Daniel in the lion's den,
mm-hmm.
If you just read the story, that's all it is to most people anymore. It's just a story. But when you dig out all the rich things that God has put in there for us, it changes it to more meaning.
Yeah, well, Charlie, I agree with you on that you have to have the whole picture of the Bible. But one of the things I think we need to be sure of is that we teach people to read the Bible for what it is, which is pointing to Jesus Christ. You know, the New Testament tells us that all the promises of God find their yes in Him. And Jesus, as He's walking with the disciples on the Emmaus Road after His resurrection, the Bible says He is showing them all of the things in the Psalms and the prophets and the law pointing to Him, about Him. So I think some of the problem that we have in terms of the Bible is you have some people making the leap to application too quickly. They go through and they read the Old Testament and they say, okay, Nehemiah was building the wall. I need to be constructive. Well, that's not what Nehemiah is about. Nehemiah is pointing you toward Jesus Christ. We need to see how the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus and then how it is fulfilled in us as we are being conformed to the image of Christ. And I think that is the best place to start. What do you think? Join the conversation, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we're talking about biblical literacy. And we have Stephanie on the line listening in Akron, Ohio. Stephanie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, sir. I think you just make it come alive. I, as a first and second grade Sunday school teacher, we just use everything that we can to make it really tangible to them. Lydia made purple cloth, so I pulled every purple thing out of my closet, and we passed around. We talked about what she did. We play games, and we quiz them. We play, like, little hangman games. And whenever... we talk about how Jesus is the bridge between God and man. We go to a bridge. We talk about bridges. We really try and make this something that they can understand and they can see and feel and touch and hear.
All right. What do you think? How are we going to engage children and young adults and, frankly, elderly people? We have a lot of elderly people who have no clue about the Bible. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 2, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. They're the books of the Bible, the Old and New, the Word of God and the Word of Truth. You gotta learn them through and through. I know the books of the Bible, how about you?
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Do our children know not only the books of the Bible, do they know what the storyline of the Bible is? I'm afraid there are too many of them who are illiterate. They don't know the great story of God's redemption in Christ from his creation of the world all the way through to the New Jerusalem that we are waiting for. You know, Stephanie told us that she tries to do some unique and engaging things in her Sunday school classes to try to create a love for the Bible and to fire the imaginations of her children. And some of those things I've done before. As a youth minister, for instance, I would take groups of teenagers to different locations to talk about different biblical texts. For instance, we went to a jail cell to talk about Paul and Silas. We went to a courtroom to talk about Paul's teaching of justification. We went to a graveyard to talk about resurrection from the dead. And yet, I think we need to make sure that we're not relying on these kinds of imaginative teaching techniques in order to teach and to communicate biblical truth. The Bible itself is an engaging and an imaginative storyline that is true, that is true historically, but also makes sense of the world. It makes sense of all of our lives. How do we make sure that we communicate this and communicate it well, so that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren not only know the Bible, but they love the Bible and they pass it on? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we will carry on this conversation about biblical literacy. We have Aaron on the line. Aaron, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Good evening, Dr. Moore.
Good evening.
I'm a substitute Sunday school teacher over here at Southeast Christian. And the one thing that I've found seems to get the most effect is when I put the story in historical perspective.
Okay.
Recently, I've been teaching from a little-known, little-followed book of the New Testament, the book of Philemon, and I take time to explain the relationship between master and slave, what it meant to be a slave in first-century Roman Empire, and how Paul uses that defined social setting to allow both Philemon and Onesimus to witness to everyone who might have lived around the household of Philemon. So I take things back to the first century, and it never ceases to amaze me how much people say, you know, I've never heard it discussed that way. I've never heard it put in that kind of context, and it makes the story so much more rich for me, and it gives me a better understanding of what's being said here.
Yeah, I think you're right, Aaron. I think you have a lot of teachers who simply are using whatever curriculum comes through to teach Sunday school, and sometimes these things are very, very weak and shallow. And I know that sometimes in our churches we have teachers just simply reading out of some quarterly. I mean, that, you talk about making the Bible boring. By doing that, that is very easy to make the Bible into a boring document for children, adults, and senior citizens, for that matter. Thanks for that word, Aaron. I want comments from you. How do we engage children and young adults and senior adults with the Bible so that we have churches that are literate when it comes to the storyline of Scripture? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Jeff on the line who is listening on WTBN in Lando Lakes, Florida. Jeff, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, thank you. What a pleasure hearing you talk about this subject. I agree with you that the children should take part with the adults in the church. I was a minister and then an associate pastor at a small church, and I had the opportunity to be the Sunday school teacher for the adults. And because it was a small Sunday school for the children, we incorporated the children into it.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing I said was that we can't depend on teachers, Sunday school teachers and preachers, to bring excitement to our homes as far as the Bible is concerned. We as parents and adults have to fall in love with what Jesus is saying in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the entire Bible. And once we fall in love with it and get excited about what it does for our life and to our life, we can then spread that excitement to our children.
Mm-hmm.
Our children see what goes on with us in church and how we react to God's word. And what happens is when they're incorporated into the church with us, we get an opportunity to see what they're missing and what they're getting, and then we can discuss together what scripture was being read in the church, what the pastor was talking about, and we get that opportunity to have that family togetherness to talk about the word. And when we just send our children off to Sunday school and expect Sunday school teachers to bring excitement to our children,
yeah,
we do damage to our families, because there's a separation, because we don't first of all find out and sit in those classes to see if we agree with what's being taught.
You know, Jeff, I think you're exactly right. I have 2 4-year-old sons that I bring with me into worship, and one of the things I think is so important is that they see Dad sitting in submission to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, being shaped by the Word of God, hearing the public reading of Scripture, singing the hymns, singing Scripture through the hymns. I think that is very important for them, even if they don't understand everything that's going on. But I'll tell you, they understand more than we think. One of my 4-year-old boys said just yesterday, now this is days after we were in Sunday worship, and he says, Dr. Cook, who is our pastor, Dr. Cook says, I am of Apollos. He was remembering that Dr. Cook was preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and referencing that. And so that gave me an opportunity to sit down and say, yeah, and this is why Dr. Cook was saying that. This is what he meant by that. That you can't substitute for these kinds of experiences coming through the worship of the entire family sitting under the Word of God. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Frank on the line who is listening on WHKW in Cleveland, Ohio. Frank, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I believe that this topic today is holds hands with yesterday's topic, and that the lack of biblical literacy is directly correlated to the lack of people who are systematically leading their flocks through the Bible systematically. The parents are not equipped to teach their children because they're not sitting under proper instruction.
Well, Frank, I think that's a prophetic word, and I think that's exactly right. I think you've got a lot of pastors who are afraid of the Bible. They think the Bible is boring, so they don't preach it. And so how can you expect families who then see the Bible as being central if our pastors and teachers don't see it as central? We need to recover this in our pulpits, and we also need to recover it in our homes. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
There's a family Bible on the table, its pages worn and hard to read, but the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memory.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. So you know there's going to be some Johnny Cash in here somewhere. Family Bible. We don't have much of the family Bible being taught in our homes or in our churches, which is why we have children who really don't know the difference between Aaron and Levi. Sometimes don't know the difference between Jesus and Judas, for that matter. So how are we going to remedy that? We have Jason, who is on the line. Jason, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore.
What's your thought today?
Well, I just think part of the way we can recover biblical literacy is to recover the main character of Scripture, which is God.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our curriculums and Bible lessons that you've mentioned earlier are shallow and weak, and they relegate God and his character to a secondary place if it's even mentioned. Many of the stories are just moralistic and we want our kids to have good character, but we forget that the place to start is with God's character.
Yeah, and I think I want to expand that a little bit. Not God in the generic abstract sense, but God in Christ, so that we're understanding that all of the Bible is about coming to God through that mediator, Jesus Christ, and that needs to be made very clear from the very earliest ages that we're dealing with sinners who need to come to God through a blood sacrifice. We have Karen, who is listening on XM Radio in Raleigh, North Carolina. Karen, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hi, I'm a literacy specialist, and I just want to remind people that the Bible is an excellent just reading tool for teaching things like plot and setting. In the classroom, if kids are in a Christian school, it's a wonderful tool for teachers using to help kids read because you can really differentiate with the Bible. You can choose verses to read for kids who are advanced that have really tough vocabulary, whereas for kids who might be struggling with reading, you can choose even simple verses, but verses that pack in a lot of truth, like God is love.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And you also can understand, as we're teaching children and teaching, frankly, adults, to read the Bible and to read it as a whole, understanding that the Bible has many authors, but the Bible also has one author who is inspiring all of the text. And so you've got literary themes in the Old Testament that are picked up in the New Testament. I am the vine, Jesus says. You need to understand that in terms of an Old Testament that speaks of the people of Israel as God's vine, God's vineyard. There are so many literary allusions and so many ways in which the Bible streams together in the person of Jesus Christ. That's not boring. There is nothing boring about the Bible. It should arrest our imaginations and transform our hearts. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.